Assalamu alaikum, everyone. This is Kimberly Kalima with the very first episode of the Radiant Brilliant Show. The Radiant Brilliant Show was created to highlight the many talented and brilliant individuals in our community in the areas of art, music, poetry, and spoken word. Tonight, we'll speak with hip-hop artist Misunderstood, also known as Tavasha Shannon, about her interest in Muslim hip-hop, her rising career, and latest controversial releases. If you're on social media, that's where she releases them with the most feedback. I believe she also has a YouTube account that you'll want to make sure that you get the address for to follow her up, and she's also available on Twitter. I'll make sure to ask her for that information so you can follow her and lend your support. We'll also speak on her song that she made many years ago called Dates and Water to commemorate the start of Ramadan. Currently, we're just waiting for her to join in with the conversation. Also, Religion Means a Lot is the actual umbrella that my radio show is under, and I would like to thank Brother Imam Alfred Muhammad for offering me the opportunity to host. He is currently looking for other hosts to fill some other slots, so make sure that you reach out to him. He's also available on Facebook, Imam Alfred Muhammad, and you can also join the page Religion Means Alive, or you can reach out to me, Kimberly Kalima, and I'm available on Facebook as well. And again, we're just waiting for our guest, Misunderstood, to join us, and I got a couple of questions for her, and I'll be asking the questions that a lot of you would like to hear. There are a great many artists and talented individuals in the family of Islam. We have singers, we have writers, we have poets, artists, fashion designers, photographers, people who do calligraphy, a great many things. And our intention with this show is to highlight the many talented individuals we have, perhaps make some business decisions. Just show many of the non-Muslims that we're out here, we're working, and we're just as regular. If you have any suggestions, I also have an email that you could send to me, theradiantbrilliantshow@gmail.com, show@gmail.com, with any show ideas or suggestions, or if you would like to be featured as a guest. That email is infotrs@gmail.com. That'll be guestinfo@gmail.com. I'll be answering both of those, and I have already extended some invitations to some very talented individuals that I've met being on social media, and I've gotten some positive responses. So look forward to some entertaining information and shows, a little bit of music, and places where you can catch some great people when they perform. And as a reminder, if you are listening online, you have some friends that would like to call in and see what's going on with Misunderstood or Tavasha Shannon, the number to call in is 805-727-7013, 805-727-7013. And you can then or go on Facebook, provide the number, that way you don't have to look it up again. Misunderstood or Tavasha Shannon has had a few releases already. One of them that was very popular recently was called Up It. It was an answer to another song that was out there, a very popular group called Dean Squad. She has very thought-provoking songs, and they actually echo a lot of the sentiments of some of the people that you don't speak to every day, the people that you may see going to the grocery store and on the subway. They're not necessarily speaking for the white-collar workers or the people who pass people by. They're the ones who don't mind digging in their pocket and offering a little bit of change. So once she joins the conversation, I'll be glad to have her kind of explain what brought her to hip-hop and as a Muslim artist, also being a female in a male-dominated industry. I've got a brief bio that I will introduce once she joins the line and tell you a little bit more about her, and then we will start the conversation from there. But again, this is Kimberly Kalima with the Radiant Brilliant Show. After the show is done, it actually will be uploaded into our archives. I'll be posting the link so that you can go and listen. And you're more than welcome to join in and hear some of the other conversations by our host, Imam Alfred. He's on very frequently, and he actually has a public address on Sundays that you're more than welcome to listen to and kind of catch up on what he's doing and the things going on in the community. I actually, a little bit about myself, am from North Carolina, and I'm part of a very active community that is part of the Imam Waqti Muhammad community at Masjid Ash-Shahid, and they encourage all aspects of culture. There are a few masjids who do this now. Culture over the centuries has always been something to chronicle the history and the understanding of a people through pictures, through song, through poetry. It's always been available to tell the history of a people accurately as they would tell it. I am a very big supporter of telling our stories. As we know, sometimes the media is not the friendliest group of people to depict someone that's not a part of their circle. And with our culture, whether it's our clothes, whether it's the food we eat, the way we do certain rituals, it tells a little bit about who we are and what we come from. And a lot of times it keeps us strong. It also offers an identity to others so that we can continue to learn from one another. And as I mentioned earlier, we are also looking for more hosts to join the lineup for Religion Means Alive. And you can contact Imam Alfred Muhammad on Facebook. He also has a page, The Mosque Cares. That's also a charity collaboration that does a lot of things for the community. And I'll be mentioning some of their events online as well. And in his efforts to grow this particular program into something that comes off the air and goes on to in the streets and meets the people, anyone who would like to offer any type of donations, especially if you listen to this show and you enjoy it, you could actually send donations to Religion Means Alive, religionmeansalive@gmail.com. And again, that'll be used to further the program that we have here, bring on some other people, assist us with travel and putting on various events as we try to grow the idea of reaching out to the community and providing a little bit in America. We've been here a very, very long time, and there are often moments where some of the things are kind of overlooked for what's going on overseas, especially if it's something a little bit more dramatic and we're going along with our everyday life and sometimes they overlook us. Well, Religion Means Alive aims to stop where they're not paying attention to us in a positive way. They've got enough of the negative. We'd like to offer some of the positive, and we would like to take you along with us. So again, any donations for Religion Means Alive will help further that, and it will be a joint effort amongst the listeners and ourselves to offer the best that we can. In sharing my post for tonight's episode, the first episode of the Radiant Brilliant Show hosted by Kimberly Kalima, I had quite a few people who were excited about the venture and some non-Muslims as well. Another thing I'd like to express is that our show is not just for Muslims to listen to. If you're non-Muslim, make sure that you tune in, share it with your friends, try to make it a relaxing situation and maybe inspire and encourage us all to look at each other in a much, much better light. Tavasha Sannon, a.k.a. Misunderstood, does have a YouTube channel. Once she joins, I'll be glad to ask her to offer that information. But if you haven't heard from her, she's been around for quite a while, and you can go to her YouTube channel. I believe it's under Misunderstood, and check out a lot of the music that she's had over the years. Some of it's been political. Some of it's been very introspective. But it's always had a purposeful slant towards Islam or to having a faith in a higher power, something to get you motivated. One song that was very popular that made the rounds of social media was called Rise and Grind. I particularly like that one. It's a good one to listen to when you've got something to do. You got a very tenuous project, and it'll get you going. And she encourages you to rise and grind and keep pushing and never let anybody dull your light. Don't let anyone dull the radiance of your brilliance or your talents or your goals. But you should check out Rise and Grind. Another recent one that she had was Prayed Up. and encourage you to keep your faith. You leave your home, you know, make sure you said your prayers, you stay positive, associate with positive people, because there are things out there that are made to kind of break down our exterior and not really include us in the scheme of things that's for growth. So prayed up is a really good one, and that's across the board. You know, that's a common phrase I hear people say is you got to stay prayed up. Well, she thought about it and put a pen to paper and decided to make a song. I'm going to try to reach out to her because I'm very eager to have her start. So far, we've got two people on the line who are eager to hear about her as well. So I'm going to just send her a message very quickly and let her know that we are live and we are ready and anticipating her responses and what she's got to say about some of her music, her history, and her future career goals as a Muslim hip-hop artist. One of the other people that I spoke with also in anticipation of having a guest, I'm not sure if you're familiar, there's a gentleman named Wali Ali that I met several years ago at a business conference. He's kind of like a mentor for me, and he's been in different realms of entertainment and has performed at events that we've had here in my locale in North Carolina. One was a scholarship fund that was set up for some of the children of the masjid to assist with going. It was a really great performance. He had many, many years of experience and can really give you some insight as an entertainer, a person who chooses to entertain and be a Muslim and some of the challenges. I've also spoken with a few poets who have given me a thumbs up. One person who's got her business in fashion design. So in the next coming weeks, inshallah, for our non-Muslim listeners, God willing, we'll have a great plethora of people to entertain you and educate you and, again, try to inspire you. And Brother Imam Alfred, again, offered me the opportunity. I am in awe of him because he's been very, very, very busy. And he's actually in Louisville, Kentucky right now, attending with many of the thousands of people who are with the janazah with regarding Muhammad Ali's passing that was broadcast. I don't know if any of you got to see it, but there were several links that you could view the actual janazah and hear some of the comments and then some of the clips over the years, his long, long years as a sportsman and as a kind of like a politician. Even though he said he wasn't a politician, he addressed a lot of issues that some stiff suits wouldn't talk about. And he was very unapologetic and very brave. So let's remember Brother Muhammad Ali and his family in our prayers and continue to speak about him and the differences he tried to make and how he was stifled in a time when America wasn't ready to grow. He was a great hero of mine, and we pray the Imam Alfred and all the people that travel out of time make it back home to their family safely, but we must continue to tell his story and keep him going. So I'm very glad to have you, Sister Tivasha, and I want to thank you accepting my invitation to be my first guest on the Radiant Brilliant Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Kimberly Kalima, and this is our flagship program. Brother Imam Muhammad invited me to be a host, and I was very, very excited and immediately thought of several people to invite that I've enjoyed following over the years in the different Facebook groups and on YouTube. And you are definitely at the top of the list. So what I will go ahead and do is just reintroduce the program since we're officially starting. And since we're starting now, if we go past our 8 o'clock time, it's supposed to be 7 to 8. If we go to 8:30, we'll be fine. We'll be able to give the listeners what they called in for, inshallah. But the show, and I'll read the header that I actually placed on the board itself. The Radiant Brilliant Show was created to highlight the many talented and brilliant individuals of our community in art, music, poetry, and spoken word. And tonight, we have her on the line. Yay! We're going to speak with hip-hop artist Misunderstood, also known as Tivasha Shannon, about her interest in Muslim hip-hop, her rising career, and her latest controversial releases. And I'd also like for us to touch on a song you made many years ago called Dates and Water to commemorate the start of Ramadan. So I will go ahead and open up with Ramadan Mubarak. And how are you again?
Ramadan Kareem, I'm great. I'm great. I'm blessed.
Okay. Well, I will go ahead and read your bio for the listeners, for our Muslim listeners who know you and some who don't, and also for our non-Muslim listeners. I had a few people that I shared information about the show with who said they were interested and would make sure they call in. So, inshallah, we'll get this rolling. Creative, charismatic, and courageous. Three words to describe Miss Understood. She's an educator, a public speaker, spoken word, and hip-hop artist representing Queens. She finally was able to join us after a little bit of technical difficulty, and I'd like to thank everyone else who has patiently waited for her to join the conversation. My first question to you, Ms. Sanders, is how long have you been a performer?
I've been performing since the age of 11. I try not to really even count how many years it is, because it's like it's just really too, it's too long, you know, basically, where some people would consider themselves a veteran. That's what I, okay. I would consider myself, like I've did this a long time. I'm 33, so.
Okay, well, that means you're seasoned. You've seen a lot. You probably work with a great many people.
Yeah, I'm seasoned. And, no Larrys, though.
No Larrys.
Seasoned, but no Larrys, though.
Okay, and when you were 11, what were you doing? What kind of brought you into the realm of entertainment?
Well, what had happened was I was attending a very, very strict Islamic school, so very rigid, very strict setting. And, you mm-hmm. know, you find yourself, you know, when people restrict you, you know, you find yourself very bored. So out of boredom and to, you know, bring excitement to the school and the school day, I started writing raps. I started freestyling in the lunchroom. Started writing my little raps, have people meet me in the bathroom, let me say my little stuff. And it made, you know, school days a little bit more exciting, you know. Not to mention I had several people that I was watching, other artists too, you know, that I was able to appreciate what they were doing, and I admired them, so I wanted to do it too.
Well, I'm certainly glad that at 11 years old, you were able to channel that restless energy in a positive way that helped fuel who you are today. So I got to ask this question, and it's a famous quote from a movie, but when did you fall in love with hip hop?
Oh, wow. When did I fall in love with hip-hop?
Out of all the music and the genres that you heard that kind of touched you, when did that one hit you?
I would say fell in love with hip-hop. Maybe like probably the Salt and Pepper era.
Okay.
Salt and Pepper era. Yeah, that definitely was it. I'm a Salt and Pepper fan, so.
Okay,
and
like
Salt and
the
Pepper, you know, I'm an 80s baby, but, you know, I remember mm-hmm. them from when I was younger, and my aunt was big Salt and Pepper fan, so they played it, they had all the CDs, we watched all the videos, when we did talent shows, to their songs, you know, dancing and stuff, so.
Okay, and I think people underestimate, you know, they speak on how influential the media can be in a negative way, from horrible pictures, bad stories that are fluffed up, but it can also influence you in a positive way, because if it got you to do something that kept you from going down the streets and getting in trouble, I'd say that was pretty good. So you almost ran into my second question. I was about to ask you for the style of music that you do, who or what were some of the people that inspired you, and do you know why? I heard you mention Salt and Pepper. What about them kind of inspired you to feel like, hey, I can do this? Are you okay? I thought I lost you.
I just really I don't know. It was easy. It was very easy putting words together, making them rhyme. You know, grabbing a mic. I didn't see it as a difficult thing, even though I started out and I wasn't mm-hmm. my flow wasn't really tight, and I didn't mm-hmm. really have, you know, substance. You know, with time, you know, you work on everything. With time, you can, you know, get better. So it's just really, you just have to work at it. Work at your craft. You hone it. You make it your own. And then just take off from there.
Okay. Okay. Well, that sounds good for anybody who's interested in that. What would, to you, is the definition of halal hip-hop or halal rap? And is it such a thing? And also, is it only for Muslims to listen to?
Halal hip-hop, I just think it's anything with a good message. Anything with a good message has good themes, you know. Halal means lawful, you know. So anything that's good, rather, coming from a good place, you know. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily have to be an Islamic theme. Like, it doesn't have to be about something related to Islam. It could be something as simple as respecting your mom, you know, respecting your parents, something as simple as, you know, helping other people, you know, helping people in your community, because that's what Islam is about. It could be something as simple as, you know, respecting other people's way of life, because there is a verse that says, to you be your way, to me be mine. So respecting and having tolerance for other people. I mean, there's so many different things. It doesn't have to be quote-unquote Islamic, and I'm learning that, because for so many years I did just quote-unquote Islamic rap, and I thought that I had to do that. And all of the Islamic jargon, it makes it difficult for people to really keep up. So I'm learning now that all really has to be is just positivity, you know, and it's for halal rap is for Muslims, but if we can, if we are more broad and we just, you know, we change up some of the material, non-Muslims will be able to understand it. They'll be able to benefit from it, and I think they will appreciate it.
And I think that'll be a really good thing, because there are a lot of non-Muslims that do listen to hip hop, and if you can have some hip hop with a message, and what I'm hearing you say is what you're doing, it kind of promotes good choices and good ethics. And it doesn't necessarily have to be where you're quoting something from the Quran in order to make it acceptable. You can just be trying to point someone towards the good, in a good direction.
Right, right. Now, what we would like to halal rap is also the opposite of whatever haram rap is, you know? And we all know that what that's about. That's the intoxicants, the liquor, the fornication, or you know, the adultery, all of those things that they put into the music, you know? You know, drugs and excessive, you know, spending and wasting and all that.
Okay, and that is a very good point, because some of the stuff that's mentioned in what we have today is actually getting people to run away from their life, run away from what's right. It's, like you said, the complete opposite. I think that's a great, very accurate description. And what you're doing is trying to get people to run to the good, run to what could be better for them. So that's a great situation. One sidebar question that I have for you. When you think of hip-hop, you think of guys, you think of male performers. So is Muslim hip-hop any different, being a woman in that field?
Yes, it is very male dominated. You know, Islamic hip hop is the same thing. The men are running things now. They are the ones who people are listening to or think that it's correct for them to do it. Whereas, you know, they do it, and it's, you know, they might receive some flack a little bit. People might come down on them, but definitely women are going to get attacked for anything they try to do where they're so vocal, or they're taking a stage and they're given a microphone, because we still have the mentality that women should be seen, not heard. We still have mentalities where some people believe that women belong in my space place. You don't really need to be on no type of platform trying to be vocal and talking about you expressing yourself, and you got things to say. It's like, no. So, you know, I see that I get a lot of trouble. You know, I get a lot of non-support for those issues. I find that the Muslim artists are a little bit, they do gain a lot more attention than I do. They do get more respect, and they get more opportunities, even if they aren't more talented, you know. They could be just as talented as me or less talented than me. And it's just because they are male, they are going to get treated with a certain preference. So too bad, so sad. I wish it would change.
A little bit of preference and a little bit of appeal and some of the respect. Where you that stop you? There.
You're breaking up. I can't really hear you.
Can you hear me a little bit better now?
Yeah, this is better. Thank you.
Okay. I think I just moved my head a little bit. But I was going to say, I don't see some of the obstacles that you mentioned. I don't see where you've let that stop you in any way.
No, I haven't let it stop me. It's definitely a deterrent, because If you do this year after year after year, you don't really see the end result, which where you want to be, or you don't see it growing the way you need it to grow. Like, your YouTube subscribers is not the number that you want it to be. You know, your videos don't get the numbers that you want it to be. You know, people would talk to me and tell me, everything is numbers, everything is numbers. So even if you try to tell yourself, you know, it's quality over quantity, my stuff is quality, you know, when people look at you, the way that they treat you and determine your success as an artist is by the quantity. So when you don't put, you don't show that, and the numbers don't show, it's like she's not really doing nothing, and that's a bit bothersome. It does become a deterrent sometimes. You know, I do want to quit. I do stop and go. Through the years, I've stop, go. But you know, I'm nice at what I do, so I always come back. Like,
I agree.
We
agree. And I wanted to say also that sentence that you just left us with about quantity over quality, it lets us know even more that you do know about the business, that you're not just taking pictures and grabbing a microphone. The production that is an artist is a very serious situation. If someone was interested in going into Muslim hip hop or any other field as a Muslim entertainer, do you have any suggestions for them as far as getting educated in the business, or can you just ignore that because you're Muslim?
No, I think that we as Muslims, I know I've never been about my business, so that could probably be one of the reasons why I'm not where I need to be, honestly speaking. You know, I've done a lot of, you know, shows for free and haven't charged, or I've been underpaid of what I thought I should have gotten, or in relation to what other artists may have gotten. You know, there's been a lot of, you know, free material given out, a lot of discounts, all of that. So I haven't been about my business. There's been time I had management, time I didn't have management. There's so many, like, obstacles in terms of why my business was bad. So I would tell someone, learn about the business. Read those books. Talk to people who know. Learn what it takes to really exist in this business and to be successful, whatever that means to you. So you definitely got to be, you know, about your business. I would tell them that, and then I would tell them, make sure you have some thick skin, especially if you're a woman. You got to get thick skin, because people are going to say some of the most hurtful things, and you got to be able to combat that. You got to be able to take that, and, you know, I'm usually bothered a lot when people say something about, I get like Erykah Badu. I'll be like, I'm sensitive about my ears. So I don't like nobody to say nothing about my music, but it just so happens that everybody not going to like it, you know. Some people going to press the down button. Some people not going to like it. Some people not going to buy it. Some people not going to share it. So it's like, I just have to come to terms with that.
And speaking of sharing it, what kind of support do you actually see in your community, or in our community as the Muslim community, as far as having a woman who is out front doing these things?
Well, the support within our community is limited, but God is good all the time. So as long as God is with you, it really don't matter who's against you or who's not supporting you. The truth of the matter is, you know, I believe this gift is God-given. You know, he gave it to me. So obviously, you know, he wanted me to do something with it, and that's what I'm doing with it. So even if nobody else support me, I'm going to continue to do it till when I want to stop. I'm not stopping for no man. I'm not stopping for no crowd. I'm not stopping for anyone else. I'm not going to stop to pretend to be more religious than I am. Mm-hmm. I'm going to only stop when I would like to stop.
Another question I'd like to ask also, a great divide along with the substance of what's in secular hip-hop as opposed to Muslim hip-hop, the style of dress. Do you have any difficulty being a woman who covers? You have your hair covered, you have your arms covered, you're not out with everything showing. Has that posed any type of difficulty when you perform?
You mean for a Muslim crowd or non-Muslims?
For both. For a Muslim crowd, because there are sisters who wear their scars all different kind of ways. So that's almost a sidebar conversation, where some you're not covered enough, some you're covered too much, so you don't have to wear that. And then with the non-Muslim crowd as well.
Well, I never heard anyone really say too much about my covering, because for the most part, I do a good job in that. I mean, I've heard a few people here and there say something about a particular outfit, or I may have heard things in reference to makeup, but I don't, you know, hear things really because I, you know, I cover, so I don't really get that issue. Even though some people may feel like if you're doing music and you, you know, and you want to be on a stage, then you might as well be uncovered. They feel like you might as well go and live that life that you want to live, where you want to be, you know, a rapper like, you know, the females that are out. They think you might as well go all the way. And when I think that's extreme, because I should be able to do my artistry and not compromise my religion, you know. So the non-Muslims, though, when I go to perform, people are shocked, you know, and I used to get people's attention because they always wondering what I'm going to say. Some people think I'm a spoken word artist before I start talking. They think I might be going to go with some deep poetry. Some people think I'm about to start singing and I'm going to hit some notes. And then when I come out and I do what I do, it's like, wow, you know, it's a lot of people are really impressed and, like, amazed. And, you know, they show me a lot of love. And then you got some people, they want to, they don't want to like it. Like, I've had showcase, I've had a showcase where I tore the stage down. Like, I'm, you know, when I perform, I perform. So I tore the stage down. They ended up telling me that I was number, like, the eighth, I was in eighth place or something. I was just like, what? Like, I didn't get it. So when the whole show was over, I said, you know what, I don't want to appear like a sore loser, but I'm going to go ask this man, what is their judging criteria? What are they using? Is it lyrics? Is it beat? Is it, you know, like, what are your stage presence? Like, what are y'all, you know, using to judge? Because I wanted to know why the person who won, won. And he said to me, to be honest with you, you don't, you know, you don't fit what we're looking for. Your type of music, he said, your type of rap, you know, he said, it doesn't fit, you know, what we're looking for. They were trying to say that the artist who I was going to open up for, you know, who happened to be a Muslim artist, but just, you know, doesn't make Islamic music. He said, you know, his music was gangster, and my stuff was conscious. So they were saying I didn't fit the bill. And I'm like, people should have said that up front, you know, in the beginning when we were first, you know, going to do the showcase before I perform. You don't wait till I perform, do a good job, and then basically tell me that I'm not a winner, or I don't win because my music doesn't fit. It's not gangster music. I'm like, that's crazy.
But so what I'm hearing you say also in regards to the dress, where it's saying, oh, if you want to be a popular rapper and the way the women dress, you might as well go all the way. Or in this particular circumstance, I think it's very sad that the most extreme version of something is now what's the new normal. Because I agree, if this is where your stopping point is and you do well, you should be allowed to do that without being pushed to go further, especially in a negative way. So I commend you for being direct and for being obvious about who you are and what you're trying to do and for being unapologetic. I think not only non-Muslims need to see that in regards to tolerance, but there are a lot of Muslims out there who have never seen a woman stand up for herself, never seen her express any opposing idea or attitude. And to be able to do that and the world didn't fall apart could be a very good lesson for a lot of women out there. You're not saying take over the world. You're just saying, you know, be clear and be direct and really say what's on your heart and stand by your convictions, because it'll get you a lot further. I really appreciate that. One thing I wanted to get into too was some of your songs. So on the list that I had, what inspired you to compose Dates in Water? When I was looking online several years ago for Muslim artists to model myself after or to see how they live the duplicity of being Muslims and being entertainers, you were one of the first people that I found on YouTube. Talk to me about the Dates in Water song that you did and why you made it.
Dates in Water, really, it came from a place where, all right, Ramadan is a holy month. We're trying to be calm. We're trying to make sure that we have good manners and we have good speech and we don't get angry and we don't do all of these things. But people have a tendency to test you. So I was just like, it was through that, like, you know, I'm trying to fast. I got my dates in my water. Everyone knows dates is from the Sunnah, at least like 3 dates. You know, in the water, like when you break your fast. After you fast all day long from sun up to sundown, when you break your fast, you know, majority of Muslims will use dates and they will use water. So then that became that's why the title is Dates and Water, because it's just so important. It's a part of the Sunnah. So, I found that the masjid was, mm-hmm. It always had some people fighting over food. It was always some people who want to pray next to them. They don't want to put their feet with your feet and stand straight in a row and be close to you. People want to move away from you. You try to pray. People talking, having these loud conversations. People baby crying, just chaos. So that's why the song was just like, I got my dates in my water, my dates mm-hmm. in my water, got my dates in my water, my dates in my water. It's Ramadan, and I'm fasting, and I'm trying hard not to start spazzing. You know, like, I'm trying very hard to deal with you all, you know, and I want to be patient, but it's like certain people behaviors, you know, and then,
okay.
You know, I had a true incident that happened with me one time in the masjid, you know, over some cornbread. Like, this woman, she was acting like the cornbread police. Like, she really was going so hard. I was trying to just get an extra piece of cornbread. Anybody who know me, they know I love cornbread. So I was just trying to get an extra piece of cornbread, and she was just like, we're saving this for tomorrow. And I just was like, tomorrow not promised, sister. We not promised to see tomorrow. Can I get another piece of cornbread? So that's why the song said, it says in it, sister acting like the cornbread police, you know, because it was like, you going too hard for this. Tomorrow. She was real Annie with it. Tomorrow. I was like,
wow. Okay. Well, I want to say that was a nice little surprise, because I was not playing any music clips or anything just because it was Ramadan, but you gave us a little bit of that energy. You spit just a little bit. So if anybody's on here who doesn't know you, I'm sure their eyebrow just rose up a little bit like, oh, she's coming with it like that. Okay. And for the people who do know you, they're like, yeah. That's misunderstood right there. So I don't know if you know you did that, but that popped out a little bit and gave us a little sample. Another one of my favorite songs that you have done was Rise and Grind, and I was speaking on that previously before you came on, how that is that inspirational. You got a project to do. You got to leave the house. There's a challenge that you got to face. That Rise and Grind is the joint. Talk to me about what inspired that and how that came together, because your sound – it's getting better and better as far as the production sound and then the video.
Thank you so much. Yeah. What happened is I did a lot of remaking of people's songs and stuff over the years, but I was put to the challenge to actually put together an original project. And it was like, it's not that I don't know how to do it. It was just the fact of, I just always felt like, you got to put all of this. It just costs more money than it does when you, like, are just doing a mixtape or you're just, like, remaking people's songs. It's just a bit cheaper. When you do an original project, you know, you got to pay for your production, you know, from producers who they want to get paid, and, you know, everything else is just it incurs more costs, you know. So I didn't want to do it. But people kept challenging me, or people kept thinking or sleeping on me, like as if I couldn't make it happen. I was like, I can do a whole original project, all original songs, and my stuff be hot. And that's what I did. That's what Queen's Breath Kept Secret is. And although I don't feel like I'm promoting it the way that I should, or, you know, it's getting the attention that it needs, that's a solid project. It has songs about different stuff and, you know, different things. And, you know, people, you know, they're used to when I say certain things about my baby daddy. And I told them I could do a whole album and not mention them, you know, not mention him. Like, why do people think I'm tunnel vision or I'm just one way? But sometimes people just don't really want to give my music or me a chance, so they just looking for something to say. But with Rise and Grind, it's just my reality, you know, being someone who doesn't work for themselves. I'm not self-employed, you know. Music doesn't pay my bills, so I work a 9 to 5 or 10 to 6, 11 to 7. The hours vary with my job, and sometimes I really don't want to go to work. I really don't. My bed is comfortable, or I just don't feel like dealing with that, whatever is going to happen there at the office. But then I tell myself that I have to, like, you have to get up. You have to be progressive. You have to do something. You cannot lay in a bed all day. You cannot sit around your home all day, you know, and just watch, you know, TV, and then news go off, and then Maury came on, and then Maury went off, and then Steve Harvey came on, and then he went off, and then the real came on. No, you can't. You have to make a move. You have to be progressive. Anything you do, if you want to work for yourself, make a move, be progressive. Figure out how to make that happen for you. Get out, get that money, or make those connections. Get out, meet people. Anything. So it's just like rising and grinding. You want to go to school? Okay. You get out. You start going to a few of those schools, colleges. You know, go to the admissions office. Meet with some people. Go in, you know, go to some open houses. Like, make moves. Go to a few orientations. You want a job? Go to a job fair. You don't have a job, to go to your own. You rise and grind. You go to some job fairs. And people, they don't even beat their feet no more and hit the pavement and go from door to door to, you know, places with their resumes and stuff. People don't do that. They were like, I'm applying online.
Yeah,
you know, just
popular.
Being lazy and stuff. So, yeah, it's about rising and grind. I want to motivate people. I'm happy when people motivate me, and that was my purpose. My purpose, my music. For the most part, I do – you know, get slick sometimes with my mouth, or may come up with something that's controversial. It might be a little bit of entertainment and drama here and there. But for the most part, I try my best to inspire people. I try my best to speak, you know, real stories, talk about real situations. And that's why after Rise and Grind, Going Too Far came, because Going Too Far was able to address some real issues, police brutality, a real issue that we're faced with, people being oppressed in their workplace, you know, and it doesn't have to even be here. Like overseas, sometimes people get paid, you know, little wages to make big clothes for big name brands. And it's like, you know, the oppression. And then talking about, you know, broken friendships, you know, friendships and relationships that get lost, you know. Sometimes you could be friends with somebody for 10 years, and then all of a sudden y'all not friends no more, you know. And that happens. That's reality. Sometimes people grow apart. Sometimes, you know, and things happen. So I just like to talk about those real things. So going too far.
Appreciate it. It takes some more than the rest of us. We watch a lot of newscasters, but not necessarily from our community. And while they may speak about it and empathize, necessarily speaking to how we are specific. And you're right. Sometimes talk to Kalima with Radiant Brooklyn Show, and I'm Tavasha Shannon, or Misunderstood, Hip Hop Hijabi. For your videos and everything, do you have a team of people? Like, it's a very real situation here. You are not just playing around with your microphone.
Yeah, I'm trying not to. There's a lot of people already doing that. I don't need to do what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. But I was about with your videos and everything. Like I said, that Rise and Grind was clear and crisp, and it was a very comparable to what's out there, just as good as anything you would see on television. Do you have a crew of people who help you with that?
No, actually, I tend to work with a lot of new people. Like, I don't have a team that's consistent, like the same people. So I'll usually work with people, you know, different people. And that was someone that I had never, you know, that was someone who I did one other video with him. And then this was, you know, our second video, you know, and he was good. So I used him that second time, you know, and I try to, you know, get him to do some further stuff. But I think he probably wanted to go and so, wow, they like, I want to do short films. I want to do a documentary. I want to do this. I want to do that. They get tired of doing music videos. So he kind of just grew and, you know. I guess he got busy with his life. So, no, we're not a team, but we did work together for that. And then the producer for Going Too Far, I mean, the videographer for Going Too Far, he was a different person, too. They're
okay,
not the
so
same
you
people.
So you hiring different people. So you're not only a rapper, you're a jobs creator, too. Okay. For people in the community with skills, because once you one person gets out there, you know, you have the people who came together. And it's a web. It's a web of talented individuals. But I just wanted to say again, and I'm so glad you made this decision to do Halal Hip Hop for us, because you do want, if you like a certain genre of music, but you want to turn away from what is telling you to do this negative, I'm glad that you provide an alternative. But I read somewhere that years and years ago, you were like the first female battle champion in the early 2000s in a competition.
Woohoo! Yeah, when I went to BMCC, I went to Birmingham Community College, and I had battled there when I was in college. And, you know, I did win. I won that first year. That second year, you know, somebody else came, a guy, and took my spot. You know, but I have my trophy, but my dad keeps it in his barbershop, you know. It was he's so proud. Yeah, he keeps certain posters. Like, he'll keep certain things, and, you know, that's one of the things he has in his shop, my trophy. That I won. So I got a trophy for that. And a lot of people don't know those different type of things. Like, they probably think I make up. They probably think I make up those things. Like, when I say, you know, oh, I used to be in Brooklyn, and I used to be in cyphers with people, and I used to battle way before battle rap was really big. And I say, I used to rap with Papoose, Remy Ma's husband, way before he even looked at Remy Ma. You know? And it's like, it's like people would, you know, they probably don't believe me or not. And I was so happy because somebody I know, they just posted something about that the other day, and I screenshotted it. I said, I'm going to share this with people because people be forgetting that there's so many different sides to me. And I actually might even be getting back into battle rap. I'm really, that's, you know, got to stay tuned for that. I might really be getting back into that.
Okay. Well, you keep us in the loop as far as that's concerned, because, like I said, it's a lot of us that are interested in you that don't really know about you, and I was hoping this conversation would really kind of peel back some of the layers. There was another song or a track that you did called Greatness. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, Greatness was just a tribute to the Black History heroes, you know, the important people who, through time, they've did some things, whether it's made some inventions, whether they were responsible for certain civil rights for our people, whatever it was. So I just felt like people of color and minority people, we should be very proud of ourselves and where we come from, and realize we come from greatness, so that maybe we can stop some of the foolishness that we're doing. Like, some of the foolishness. What type of foolishness I'm talking about? I'm talking about, like, your pants hanging off of your behind, showing your boxers and stuff like that, like you in jail. Like, this is, like, that's ridiculous. Like, you never would have seen Martin Luther King, none of them, Frederick Douglass, Booker T, Malcolm X. Nobody wore their pants like that. Like, why do you look like that? Like, have some dignity. And it's the same thing with these women. Like, people is on... they're practically naked. Like, people getting body paint, and that's how they're going to parties and going to clubs. And it's like, it's crazy. You didn't see Rosa Parks never dressed like that. Ida B. Wells didn't have those type of clothing or those type of demeanor. You didn't see Coretta Scott looking. Rosa Parks. Coretta Scott wasn't nobody's side chick. You know, like, just the behaviors that we have as a people from everything, that, you know, just wanting to just smoke all day and smoke and drink and turn up and get high and, you know, the extramarital affairs and just sleep people and go to the club and go home with him and her and you just met them and people not getting tested. Just so much. And I mentioned in there about, you know, one of the people that we're paying tribute to of greatness, Magic Johnson. And people put... learn something from his experience, like awareness, like get tested, you know, and stay safe and keep people that, you know, your partner safe and help, let's stop, you know, contributing to these statistics. So that's where that came from. It came from a great place. I couldn't even include everybody and their grandfather and grandmother, but I tried my hardest to, and when I was growing up and when I was coming up, I knew about, you know, some of those people because when we did our book reports, we did the same people every Black History Month. And then when I got into college and I had to do longer papers with footnotes and stuff, I learned extensively more about other people.
That with us. And I'm mentioning these song titles because I want people who are listening and are interested to go and find them. I want them to write them down. And then to give you on your Facebook page or on channel that they find them, or on Twitter. That feedback is very, very, very helpful. Not only great, you're aware of Black history and how important it is for us to maintain dignity. So people are really listening to everything that she's not just another pretty face. She's not just another pretty Kimar with the right colors matching, because you got a flair for fashion, too. I like hearing and for other people to hear what's really going on in your mind and how everything is working towards a better situation for us all. And if you just tuned in, we do have Sister Tavasha Shannon, or a.k.a. Misunderstood, on the line. I want to thank everyone for calling in to listen. And this is the Radiant Brilliant Show with Kimberly Kalima. It's our very first episode, and I am very grateful to have Ms. Tavasha Shannon help us start everything off with a bang. Had a couple of issues in the very beginning, but we kind of rolling with Rush now. The call-in number is 805-727-7013, 805-727-7013. If you're listening, you don't want to look at what you want to share with a friend on Facebook. Ellen, listen, I was trying to save this towards the end. It's about 8 o'clock now. But you recently released another song called Up It. And when you dropped that song on Facebook, it was conversations in every single group just about Up It. Other people listening, Up It, about how you feel about it.
What's that last part you said? Because you was breaking up.
Could you tell us what inspired the Up It song?
The Up It? Oh, exactly.
Yeah,
how about I felt the need. Yeah, Jaden and Carter from the Dean Squad, they made a track, and they had their own response, and they were trying to say, cut it, sister, cut it, sister, cut it. Your dowry's way too high. You need to cut it, sister. You know what I'm saying? And they were talking about, you know, how sisters' dowries is too high, and sisters need to lower it or cut it out and cut it in half or something like that, something like that. So, I took it upon myself to respond, a rebuttal. Like, I said, who going to speak for us? First of all, we don't have that many Muslim female artists in the first place, especially not hip-hop rapping artists. That's first.
Mm-hmm.
Second, we don't have as many who don't really care, who are as bold and as courageous as I am to begin with, because we have a few, and the few that we have, they so scared. Like, they stay on topics that are safe, and that's why people don't like me. Because I want to, safe or not safe, like, what needs to get said needs to get said. Like, somebody needs to defend these sisters, and if they want to call me a feminist for that, they're going to call me a feminist. But I'm defending the Muslimas. Though there are Muslimas who are extravagant, and there are Muslimas who are asking, you know, for astronomical, extravagant salaries, I think that's mostly really a foreign thing that probably happens a lot overseas in, you know, those particular foreign countries, and dowries, you know, the fathers are too involved, or the families are too involved and they have their input, or dad is basically like, you know, well, you can't marry my daughter unless she give me, you know, $50,000 or something. You know,
just for the non-Muslim listeners that might be on the line, break down what a dowry is, what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, so a dowry is a bridal gift that's given to the wife from the husband, you know, at the time of a marriage. It could be something tangible or it could be intangible. It really all depends on what does a gift mean, because people could get married for the Quran, like we have seen in examples in the past where a man, you know, he may not have much, so, you know, he can teach you, you know, from the holy book. He can teach you from the Quran, and you can learn some stories, which are, you know, some verses. And you have other things where sometimes women just ask that, you know, a man accept their children. You know, this is my dowry. Can, you know, I know that these are not your children and you're going to marry me, just that you accept them and treat them as your own. Or just simple things, whatever, it just doesn't cost money. Some people ask for those particular things. Then some sisters are asking, like, to go to Hajj, to fulfill a part of our religion, one of our five pillars of faith, to take that trip to Mecca, you know, and visit the Kaaba. And, you know, they're asking, Hajj is going for like $8,000, you know, somewhere between, I think, like 7 and 8. So people are asking for that, or people ask for rings, or women ask for jewelry and clothes and gold. And, you know, it really depends. A car really depends on a woman, you know, and a man should a dowry should be according to what the man could afford, according to his means. You know, you shouldn't overburden somebody if they don't have it. But then you also don't sell yourself short, and you don't just settle just for anything. Like, some, if you are worth it, then they should put a little work in. If they, you know, if it's you that they desire, put a little work in. Everything is not about the money, but this bridal gift, it says that you're really, it's a token of honor, and it's saying that you really are, you know, have intentions to take care of this person. Like, if you skimping with this little gift, it's like, what are you going to do later on in years to come? Like, are you really going to take care of things and be a good provider? So, I mean, sometimes people can get dowries deferred to where you can get half now, you know, at the time of your marriage, and then you can say, you know, a year later, you know, you can give me X, Y, and Z, or, you know, a year after we're married, you take me to Hajj. So everything is don't have to be up front, but I thought their version was very hot. I liked it. I couldn't even lie, you know, because they're talented. So I thought it was dope. I said, you know, it's dope. But I said, but this is not going to end here, though. I'm not letting this slide. Y'all people out of control. We're not about to have a whole bunch of sisters cutting their dowries where they basically get nothing. I know a sister that married and got a dollar. I know someone else who has got people. You know, I know people who got nothing. You know, it's like, no, absolutely not. I was going to respond, and that's exactly what I did. And a lot of people are responding. They were sharing. I really appreciate all the support. I got a lot of shares for this video. You know, I got a lot of good feedback. And the only people who are ignoring me not responding is the Dean Squad. I guess they should be for me.
So we need to go ahead and everybody on the call, we need to share Up It by Misunderstood, a.k.a. Tavasha Shanna, and hashtag or at Dean Squad. Is that what you're saying? And did you hear me?
Yeah, what happens with Dean Squad, see, when you're like them, you know, and you got 48,000 followers, but Instagram, you're not going to respond to Misunderstood because you or your management, you know, you probably think, you know, it's better to ignore people like me because you probably think that, you know, I'm not on your level. So you're like, I'm not even going to respond to that. And a lot of rappers, you know, people have like little rap drama or little beef, and people put out records. And sometimes the big artists, they never respond because they say, I don't have to, like, you're so low. Like, or, you know, and I wasn't expecting them to do a musical response. I just was expecting maybe an intelligent response, or maybe if they liked it, they would say that they liked it. They would click like, maybe something like that, or something of that sort. But I guess no response. That's very interesting. It leads me only to assume that between them and their management, they probably like, look, we too big to even get, you know, to even respond to the smaller person. When she get as many followers as us, then we'll respond to her. Because some people think like that. Remember I told you earlier, it's about numbers? So, I don't know what their issue is, but, what?
I said, we just have to keep, that's all we got to do. Because that's all, word of mouth is popular, and so, or joy to you. If you're using it, saying, yeah, keep pushing and you keep on your thing as well, because very long time. And I'm glad to see some of the attention. I'm telling you, when I first saw you, it was several looks on YouTube, and it was this short girl with this mic, and she was going all the way off. And I would have never thought in a million years that I would have a chance to meet you or have the conversation with you that I'm having with you right now. But I really admired you being a woman who believed in her craft and believed in what she was doing and have the conviction to represent her faith and step forth. And a great many people feel that. So we need you to keep it up. But I wanted to just quickly interject that, again, this is Kimberly Kalima with the Radiant Brilliant Show. And I want to thank Brother Alfred Muhammad for offering me the opportunity to host. I've spoken with a few people who were very positive about responding. So inshallah, we'll have some more people with exciting conversation like Mr. that we've had. And if you like the show and you'd like to hear my show or any others that are on the program, religion@gmail.com, religion means alive. @gmail.com, and that will accommodate us staying on the air and many of the ventures and ideas and intentions that Brother Alfred Muhammad, which would be to take us eventually off the air until the real world, go and visit different cities, dawah, and showing the world what we're all about as an ummah, the positive side of the ummah. So to tune in. Also, Sister Tavasha, I wanted to mention, along with you being, you know, battle rap, halal, fashionista, you're also a mother. And you, how do you balance that? How do you balance all those responsibilities?
Well, my mother responsibilities, they come first. So a lot of times, you know, the music, sometimes it could get stagnant or, you know, things can't quite get done because, you know, I have a child in private school. So rather than put the money into making more videos and getting more visuals and more pictures and a stylist and paying, you know, a person to style me nice and doing this and all that, those things cost money. And I put a lot of the money into my kids and less into the craft, into the music. Because I have to invest in her. Like people tell you as an artist, they say, okay, you have to invest in yourself. That's cool. But I also have a human being that I'm in charge of, and I need to invest in her. So if that means that the music is not, you know, the videos are not where people think it should be, or they aren't coming as fast as they should, or where's your new CD, or what's going on, or why they don't see these elaborate pictures all the time, it's because all of that stuff, all of it equals into money. And I have to make sure she's a priority and she comes first. And when she gives me a minute, I'm able to focus and work on my music and you know, reply and respond to messages of my fans. But she takes up a lot of my time and my attention.
Okay. Well,
but
that's
I'm making
good.
It happen.
Yes, you are. And inshallah, we're going to keep on making it happen, Ms. Tavasha. Were there any other upcoming projects that you wanted to mention while you were on the line? Because
woo-hoo! I'm happy that you brought that up. Yep,
excellent.
Surprise, surprise. We have a new project. Come on. Listen, wanted to be in here bothering me so much. So tell everybody about our new project. You gotta speak loud so everyone can hear.
Okay.
My new project.
Our new project is gonna be coming out soon.
Okay. And who's gonna be on it?
Me.
And who else?
And mommy.
Okay. So me and my daughter have a project coming out this summer.
Okay.
We have a collaboration CD. We have a collaboration CD coming out, which was my little. It was supposed to be a surprise, but I guess since it's coming next month, and we might as well start telling people now. But you want to tell them the title?
So we're
the Apple
Will
Fall Far.
Okay.
You heard the title?
Yes, The Apple Don't Fall Far. That's all right.
Yeah. So we have something coming out. It's our mixtape, me and my daughter. So
okay, thank you for that breaking news. So when I share this link, I'm going to tell everybody to listen all the way to the end for a big surprise. But I like how you were incorporating your daughter. Long time ago, that's what people used to do. Whatever business they had, they would pass it to their children. So I'm glad to hear and see that. We'll all be looking very much forward to that.
Yes.
Well, I am going to go ahead and call it a night at this time. It is 10 after 11, and I know that is Maghrib in for you yet or coming in shortly?
It'll be in at 8:30.
Okay. Well, I will go ahead and break so we can all prepare for that, those of us on the East Coast. But I want to thank you wholeheartedly, Sister Tavasha, for calling in. For always being so supportive. I apologize for the issues we were having initially in the call, but levels rose once you got on. You brought your energy and your positivity, and inshallah, we can have you back as you get a little further along and come back and talk about some more good stuff. Does that sound okay?
Woo-hoo. Yes, thank you so much for having me. You know, I appreciate the support, even when, you know, supporting me at a time when it probably is not too popular. You know, some people, when the heat comes, they shade away from that. So when up it came, it's like you didn't have to support that. It was going to come, you know, with some a little bit of heat here and a little controversy here. So just to have you, you know, get behind and support that and, you know, share my other stuff, even, you know, regardless of what. It's like, yay, thank you so much, Sister Kimberly Halima.
Always team Uma, and I'm a big supporter, and I said it previously, of us telling our own stories and our own narratives. There are so many people with the ability to do that, whether they rap like you, whether they sing, whether they write stories, whether they take pictures, whether they compose art, whether whatever it is, any kind of structures, anything that they're doing, culture is a chronicler of a people. Important to be apologetic of that as well. We are what we have to do as you are. They may design something that expresses their discontent or their joy. And all those people, of course, are welcome on this call. But I will go ahead and end the call at this time. And I want to thank you so very much. And I'd like to thank everyone who gave me the opportunity for my premier internet show, for the Radiant Brilliant Show. And it is under the auspice of Religion Means Alive with Brother Alfred Muhammad. I do have a Facebook page, and it's the Radiant Brilliant Show on Facebook. If you're interested in being a guest, please send an email to guestinfo@gmail.com, guestinfo@gmail.com. And if you have any show ideas, the Radiant Brilliant Show at gmail.com. But now they know how to reach me. Sister Tavasha, how can they follow you and how can they reach you?
Oh, how can you reach me? Well, I am on Instagram as Miss Understood NYC. That's M as in Mary, I-S-S-U-N-D-A-S-T-O-O-D-N-Y-C. I'm also Miss Understood NYC on SoundCloud. I am Misunderstood NYC, but spelled different for Twitter, which is MS_UnderstoodNYC. I'm on, what else am I on? My Facebook fan page is Misunderstood, all capital letters. I'm Misunderstood NY on Snapchat. So I'm on a few things. What's that? My SoundCloud, that's my Facebook, my Instagram, my Twitter.
My Snapchat.
Be calm. And then my album, Queen's Best Kept Secret, is on Bandcamp. If people want to listen, check it out, purchase. That's on Bandcamp. I did have it before. What'd you say? So, all right, you see the kid? She wants attention now.
And that's
in the
children,
background,
and that's
she in the background turning up, like, okay, mom, time turning up. But yeah, y'all reach out to me. I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear what you all think about this interview, what you all liked about it, what you all thought I could have did better, what, you know, what exactly, you know, what do y'all want to, you know, see next, or what even topics, you know. I'm still accepting topics, being that the project is not finished. I'm still accepting, you know, topics for next month's project release.
Okay, well, that's going to be interactive. People can actually see, you actually can see people.
Hello.
Well, yeah. I will go ahead and go. Another sister has been keeping in touch with me in real time on Facebook, letting me know about how it's been going in and out a little bit. So, inshallah, that's something we can tweak and make better for our show, inshallah, on next Thursday. And I will be posting the flyer for that guest. And everyone for calling in. And I hope it doesn't break up while I say this. If you enjoyed this program, again, as Misunderstood stated, you know, go to her page on Facebook and let her know. Also, give me some feedback on the Radiant Brilliant Show at Facebook.com. And if you did like the show and you want to hear more of it and other shows under Religion Means Alive channel here on Blog Talk Radio, please donate to ReligionMeansAlive@gmail.com, ReligionMeansAlive@gmail.com. That'll secure these shows and many other projects we have that are cater toward the community and promoting the community and helping make the world a better place all around. So with that, I will go ahead and end the show. And again, thank you so much for tuning in to the Radiant Brilliant Show with Kimberly Kalima. Have a good evening. Salaam alaikum.